Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a great show lined up for you. In fact, I'm very excited. It's an area that I've been interested in myself and knowing more about. And so I've got an expert to help us understand it better. And the subject is currencies. A lot of talk in the news about currencies and, you know, what's the euro versus the dollar and all these things. And so I've got a gentleman on the phone with us who has been on the program before, so you know he's going to be good, right? I only let the good ones come back. Sean Hyman is on the line. He's a trader and editor of Ultimate Wealth Report. Website for today's conversation is ultimatewealthreport.com. Sean, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back with you.
Hey, I'm excited. We had a great talk last time, and I'm glad to have you back on to talk about currencies. And I know that's a monstrous and very wide and deep subject, and this is not, it's a half-hour show, not a three-hour show, but I really wanted to have you come back, especially in light of some of the activity we're seeing and dialogue or talking points that we're hearing coming out of Europe with the Eurozone maybe taking some steps to try to fight inflation, and that could certainly have an impact. Low inflation, meaning they're trying to stave off deflation, so that could definitely have an impact on the currency markets.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's start with this. What when people look at currencies, you know, there's a several different ways of looking at them from an investment or investor standpoint. Is there a place or can there be a place for trying to, for lack of a better word, bet on the direction of a currency or a basket of currencies? Is that something that might be appropriate as part of a overall portfolio for somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. There's several different ways you can do it with several different varying degrees of comfort zones and risks. But of course, one of them is just simply buying companies that earn a lot of money in foreign countries. So, you know, a U.S. corporation that earns a lot of money is, let's say, in Europe. So they earn a lot of money in euros, and then they'll convert those profits back to their U.S. books. So that's one simple way that people get some currency exposure. And that's kind of an indirect way. A bit more of a direct way is people can invest in what's called currency CDs. So they're just like a U.S. dollar-denominated CD in a bank, except for they may be denominated in euros or Australian dollars or Canadian dollars or what have you. And there's even basket CDs where you can get a conglomeration, a mixture, a diversification of currencies in a basket form in a currency CD as well. And there's one bank in the U.S. that does that. It's everbank.com, and that's not a commercial for them, or I don't get paid for them or work for them.
Okay.
It's the only bank that, you know, in the U.S. that I know that does that. But everbank.com has those type of CDs. So that's kind of a conservative way to do it, and you'll usually want to keep money in there a year or more in those CDs, keep them to maturity just like you would a regular CD.
Sure.
And then there's the more speculative way that is more risky, does have leverage, tends to, you know, need to be a little bit savvier investor, but there's actually what's called Forex, you know, trading in the Forex market, and that's currency trading in what they call the spot market. And a person literally goes through a Forex broker and opens up an account like a stock broker, except they deal in the currency market, and they can place trades online and literally buy, you know, currencies against another. And so they can do it that way. Again, that takes a little bit more savvy, but there's three different ways to do it.
Okay, so we're not talking about, you know, placing an order like we, you know, have heard of on the television or radio or internet or whatever about buying gold and they ship it to you. We're not going to get, you know, we're not going to buy euros and have them send them to us in the mail.
Correct. Absolutely. What you're really doing is you're basically tracking those currencies.
Okay.
So like if I were in a spot Forex account and I bought euro dollar, then I'm buying euros against the dollar. So I think that the euro is going to rise in value against the falling dollar. And if I'm right in that, and if the dollar falls or the euro rises, whichever way you want to look at it, then I gain money in my account as that happens. So it's almost like how you can buy GLD in your stock account, and that is an ETF, a stock instrument that tracks gold. And as gold goes up, you don't have to physically hold bars or coins, but as the price of gold goes up, you benefit and your account goes up along with it.
Same thing then. You don't have to actually hold and own the actual paper money, or but you've got basically an investment in the movement of the currencies against each other.
Right. In the old days before currency trading was, if you call it, legal for the retail public, people literally did have to have, you know, suitcases of money and,
really?
And literally convert, you know, whatever, $100,000 or some large or massive amount, you know, of currency and, you know, have a bank convert it over to, you know, euros or Canadian dollars or whatever they wanted, and then later on at a future date convert it back. And the reason why they would have to do such large amounts is because, one, they did have to literally exchange physical bills. A bank had to do it. And banks charged these widespread, these big
I'm
fees
sure.
for doing it. And
I'm
so
sure.
it made it very, very costly. But these days, you know, somebody could start off with, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 in a trading account, or maybe, you know, $10,000 in a CD. So it's much, much easier for the average person to do these days.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think that, you know, I like the way you described it, Sean, of the different, you know, kind of levels at which somebody can do. And, you know, the first one being just getting some exposure to currency because of where the revenues come from for a U.S. domiciled corporation. And a lot of companies do have some significant overseas revenue sources. And then, of course, the second you mentioned was the CD type investing. And then the third being actually setting up this Forex type account. Back to the first one, which I think is very interesting. A lot of times it's easy to overlook. These tend to be large companies, the mega caps or large caps, and have operations around the world. And so you can go in, and how would somebody go in and find that kind of company if they want it to be part of their portfolio?
Well, for starters, most large U.S. corporations are that way. So pretty much any S&P 500 company, one of the 500 largest companies in America, for the most part, are so large that they pretty much tapped, for the most part, the U.S. market, and so they are overseas as well, and that's
okay.
where most of their growth is coming from. But other large, any large, well-known, widely used around the world brand, like we know Apple iPhones are sold in, you know, China and Japan and all these other places. We know people use iTunes from all over the world to buy songs and stuff like that. So when you can just think of it in simple terms like that, too. If a product that you know is widely used all over the world, they're taking in profits in those currencies all over the world locally. And so that's just a simple layman's way to think about it.
That's good. So I want to get into some questions, too, if we could, Sean, about some basic things about currencies and you know, the exchange rates and things like that. One of the ones that, you know, I talk a lot about and always kind of refer back to, and I mentioned it at the start of the program today, is about the euro.
Mm-hmm.
And now the euro currency, correct me if I've got this off a little bit, but when they first introduced it, didn't they peg it at a 1-to-1 for the dollar? The pricing, the pricing when it first came out?
I can't remember
okay.
what it started at. I know that they started it higher. It dropped significantly,
yeah,
to like
exactly.
80 cents or so, whatever
yeah.
it is. I think it maybe been 1-to-1,
right.
but it dropped significantly to like 80 cents or so and then started to recover from there on out. But they really were concerned when the euro was first created because it dropped so far so fast.
Right.
And it was a big concern. The central banks, I think, went in and helped support it at that time to help it kind of get kicked off.
Okay. And it's also been, because, you know, it's been recently in the $1.38 range. It's been a lot higher than that, too, hasn't it?
Yeah, lately it's been in the 137s to 139s. So it recently corrected from the 139s back to the 137s when their central banker basically hinted at trying to possibly reduce rates and basically kind of jawboning, trying to talk their currency down.
Right. Well, it seems to me that, you know, I remember going on some international travel a few years back, and I remember the currency translations were not favorable at the time, and it just worked out that way. We didn't plan it that way. But it seems to me, you know, it has been even fewer dollars per euro than it stands right now. So with the talk coming out of Europe, we could see some decline in the euro against the dollar, so which would mean what? It would start going down below 138, down to 135, 130. What do you think we might see over the coming months with some of the language that we're hearing about their concerns for deflation, which certainly could cause them to lower rates and maybe even do some printing of money of their own?
Well, yeah, I think it could. It's been trending higher, and those trends tend to last long and tend to not change all that quickly. And so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it pulled back, you know, to the 135s or so before kind of resuming the next phase of the uptrend. The U.S. dollar index just hit a new 52-week low, so the dollar's lower than it's been in over a year, and it's coming up on some multi-year lows as well. So if that happens, the euro could go very much higher. Now, they don't want it to go higher over in Europe because they export so many goods from Germany, which is their economic powerhouse, and so they would really like to see the euro much cheaper, but they don't always get what they like.
No, that's fair, and that's a good point. Sean Heim is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, trader and editor of Ultimate Wealth Report. Go to the website, ultimatewealthreport.com. Let's grab a quick break, and I've got more questions for Sean. Stay right there.
When it comes to finding an advisor you can trust, are you unsure of the questions to ask? David Holland has written a book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy today. Or if you'd like to meet one-on-one with David to discuss your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book when you meet. There's no cost or obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back. We have Sean Heim on the line with us. He's a trader and the editor of Ultimate Wealth Report, website ultimatewealthreport.com. I want to go back to something real quick before the break, Sean. You mentioned about the trend that that seems to be developing, maybe even in light of some of this, the moves by the European Central Bank, that are you seeing an upward trend for the euro versus a dollar, or maybe a better way to put it is a downward trend for the dollar against the overseas currencies?
Yeah, it's been the dollar's been trending down against the euro for probably about a year or so. Yeah. Previous to that, the dollar had rallied for a few years, and now the trend has changed. So after the crisis was over and the world started healing again, money started running more back to the euro and away from the dollar once again.
Well, and as that happens, so let's walk through that. As that happens, if that trend does play out, then those CDs perhaps that somebody's picked up that are foreign currency denominated, as that happens then, is that going to create a positive or negative impact?
Well, if they bought foreign currency CDs over the past, 6 months to a year,
yes,
then those foreign currencies would be rising against the dollar. So they would be gaining in appreciation because of the exchange rate in addition to whatever interest rate that CD is at as well.
Okay, so it's going to take more dollars to equal the euro and or whatever the currency is. And since the account, your gains or how you see it is reflected in dollars, then as those currencies gain, you're getting more dollars. And because, what you spend or what you use here is going to be those dollars as American dollars.
Correct.
Okay.
And, like I say, there is exchange rate risk. So, somebody could, potentially go their way. But with the long-term trend of the dollar, if somebody's had a bigger time horizon in view, they will tend to have a great, very good likelihood of picking up currency appreciation against the falling dollar and also interest. In many countries, their interest rates are higher than here in the U.S.
Right.
Not necessarily in Europe, but many of them. And so if you get a basket, the chances are you might even earn a higher yield on your money than you would in a U.S. dollar-denominated CD as well.
That's interesting. And you mentioned something else before the break I'm going to come back to, Sean, and that is that the Europeans, of course, don't want a super strong euro against the dollar because that makes their goods that they're trying to export out of Europe to the United States, and especially because we are still one of the biggest consumer market, or at least still high up there with some of the other big ones, that they don't want to make their stuff expensive by having a more expensive euro.
Exactly. It seems like your stuff is going higher in price rather than going on sale and becoming cheaper. So in the eyes of a foreigner, your money goes less far. And so it gets less appealing to buy those goods. You think, well, maybe I should go, buy something from another country that, where the exchange rate's much more favorable. So Germans generally want a cheap euro to the dollar and a cheap euro to the yen would be
ideal,
the most
for them.
Favorable as far as exports. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, heaven forbid, buy something made in America that that is less expensive because the if the imported product, let's just call it product X, because the euro goes to $1.50 or to $2. Let's say, let's go extreme. I know it's not gonna happen tomorrow, but let's say, just for simple illustration, Sean, that it goes to $2 per euro. That's going to make that product X very expensive to bring to the States. And if something can be manufactured here for $1.75, Well, guess what? That's where the consumer is going to buy it.
Yep, absolutely. Now, one advantage to stronger foreign currencies is that here in the U.S., it can cause a lot of foreign tourism to the U.S. Like the last time when the British pound went to over 2 to the dollar, it seemed like everything was half off here in the U.S. And so, you know, Brits were going to Manhattan and calling it cheap, you know, and so you can imagine what a discount they felt when you're calling Manhattan cheap. So they were going all over America and touring America because their currency was so unusually strong historically to what it normally trades.
Well, and even easy or maybe a provocative example was InBev when they purchased Budweiser. They waited until the exchange rates were very favorable, and they came and bought all of our Clydesdales from us.
Yep, absolutely.
So that, you know, it can definitely be not only tourism but major, you know, business or, you know, other corporate transactions that can occur.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very interesting stuff, Sean. I've been, you know, curious about this and what may play out. And, you know, of course, there's also an American renaissance, if you will, kind of going on, in, you know, where manufacturing is coming back, insourcing instead of outsourcing. And, of course, with the whole, which we talked about previously, oil and gas and all of those things happening, you know, that all bodes very well for the United States, that things are becoming cheaper relative to what you might get overseas as the dollar weakens. And so where do you think all that's going to play out? You think it's going to, that trend will continue?
Well, I do think it'll continue for a while, and that will be good for jobs, good for the employment, good for the U.S. economy. It still probably won't be good enough for the dollar because we import so much and we export so little. So I don't remember what the real numbers of it are, but we think of it like, you know, you importing 80% and importing 10 or 20%. Well, you know, then it's just not going to help you a whole lot if your exports to other nations are pretty small. And so that's really what it's like. We're such an importer of goods from all around the world.
Yeah, and I guess we've got other countries like Japan or China that are big-time exporters. So that's another issue, you know, that we're seeing. And so it's a kind of, I guess, you know, we they need us and we need them, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, in the recovery, most people are trying to boost their exports. And so the thing was, everybody was trying to cheapen their currency relative to another. And it was almost like a currency war was going on because they kept trying to outdo the other and making their currency cheaper. So it was quite interesting because it, you know, basically ends up making the local people quite a bit poorer while that you know, currency war is going on.
Well, and that was going to be my next question: is any notable standout in currencies? You know, we've talked. I don't want our listeners to think that it's a, you know, just a one-way street between the, you know, the U.S. dollar and the euro. There's a, you know, a whole big basket of currencies. And any other interesting stories, Sean, about some anything standing out really going down significantly in value or appreciating significantly against other currencies?
Well, I mean, the ones that are starting to turn up are the commodity currencies, which are like the Australian dollar and the Canadian dollar. Those have been beaten down for several years because the global economy slowed down. The need for raw materials really slowed down because the growth was not there. And so these commodity exporting countries, you know, did poorly during those years, and therefore it affected the sentiment and the demand for their currency. Well, now that's starting to change as the global economy is starting to pick back up, employment numbers are starting to get better, manufacturing's picking back up, et cetera. And so those currencies are starting to turn around again.
Well, that makes sense. And so we'll watch those trends. The thing that's interesting to me, Sean, is the value of a currency. You've got, in my mind, and I'd like you to kind of comment on this or fill in some of the holes that you may hear. In my mind, you've got kind of two ways to look at a currency. You've got, as you mentioned, you know, the impoverishment of a country because of what the government may be doing to the currency or, you know, policies may be doing. But in my mind, there's kind of two ways to look at a currency. One is your translation or exchange rate against other currencies, either one or the whole basket. And you mentioned the dollar trending down overall, but also the value within the country. So kind of an inter-country and an intra-country. Is that a fair way of looking at the currencies? Because, you know, we may have something going on where our dollars don't go as far domestically, but at the same time, maybe they're doing something different versus other countries. You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah. Yeah, Lotto is really based on the faith and sentiment that's out there towards a country, its economy, and therefore will translate into its currency. And a lot of that is due to, what you alluded to, governmental policy. If there's government policy that's favorable or unfavorable, and of course that's hurt the U.S. dollar in recent years, and also capital flows. So and that has a lot to do with business activity, mergers and acquisitions. It has to do with whether you're mainly an importer or exporter. So since we import so much, and other countries export a lot, it helps the exporter as they're trading goods for cash, and it keeps a demand for their cash as there's monetary inflows coming into their country, and we have monetary net outflows. That's why China, for instance, has so much of our money. They have so many of our dollars because we got so much of their cheap,
stuff.
$1 in $5 and $10 goods, in Walmart and stuff.
Interesting. Sean Hyman's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, trader and editor of Ultimate Wealth Report. And the website is ultimatewealthreport.com. Quick break, we'll come back.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialist, and certified annuity specialist. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and accurate service to our 300-plus clients. If you're looking for financial advice you can count on today and for many years to come, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. We have Sean Hyman on the line with us. He's editor of Ultimate Wealth Report. He does his own trading and shares a lot of his insights on the ultimatewealthreport.com. Sean, I've got a couple minutes. I wanted to ask you a little bit about a terminology I've seen you use, and that's the anti-dollars, the different things, for example, that may investments, either other currencies or maybe other commodities or precious metals or whatever the case may be, that may benefit from a falling dollar. So, you had spoken earlier in the show about, there being this expectation of a weakening dollar. So, one way to obviously, quote unquote, play that would be to invest in anti-dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. And, a lot of currencies to some degree benefit from a falling dollar, but the ones that have this big, strong inverse correlation are, loosely termed anti-dollars because they're very opposite of the dollar and how they inversely correlate. And so there's 2 big ones. One is the euro and the other is gold.
Okay.
And there's 3 big currencies in the world, really, the euro, the dollar, and gold. And, there's a little bit of pounds, a little bit of yen, et cetera, but those are the biggest that central banks hold and that institutions hold. And so when the dollar is going down, money tends to flow into those other 2 very liquid, very big markets. And then when the dollar is going up, it tends to flow away from the euro and from gold as well. So that's why the very inverse correlation, the big pools of money have to go to where the liquidity is, and there's only so many places. It's like a big whale, there's only so many places it can swim. It can't swim in a pond. It's got to swim in the biggest, oceans in the world.
What about the Chinese currency? Is that's called the yuan?
Yep, the yuan or renminbi, and it is overall strengthening. It's been declining a little bit recently, but been strengthening overall, and it's just got all the right makings. A fast-growing economy, a country that's starting to become a bit more capitalistic and opening up more to the world, and a lot more faith growing in China than it was in many years past.
Interesting. Well, if you just joined us, Sean Hyman's been our guest today, trader and editor of Ultimate Wealth Report, ultimatewealthreport.com. Lots of good information there. Sean, it's always good to have you. We'll have you come back, and we've got one more show lined up with you, and we'll have you back, and it's a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.